Welcome to Show and Tell with the Two Mortgage Guys. We come to you live on Facebook and YouTube every Tuesday at noon. Today, we're interviewing Cassidy Kittner and Rebecca Slack with Miles Realty Group in Peru, Indiana.
So Cassidy graduated from Indiana University Kokomo with a bachelor's degree in communications and a focus in public relations. She's always wanted to join the family business and did so while finishing up college during COVID. Rebecca has a background in architecture and small business. She owned and operated a bridal alteration shop for almost 9 years before getting her real estate license over a year ago. Now, even though they are both relatively newer agents, they're dedicated and share a passion for helping families make one of the biggest decisions of their life when buying or selling a home. Welcome to the show, Cassidy Kittner and Rebecca Slack.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Oh yeah, we've been looking forward to this. We know you guys are fun and you know what you're talking about. And I think the subject matter we're going to cover today is going to be something very useful for a lot of people out there that are thinking about buying a home or selling a home and have no idea what the process looks like. So you're going to break that down for us, right?
Oh, yes. For sure. Yeah. We run into many that have no idea where to start.
That's the whole piece. We get the same thing. They're just, somebody says, hey, you shouldn't rent, you need to buy a house. And there's not something that tells them what they have to do.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's you guys.
Yeah. Well, let's go through it. You sent us something ahead of time, and I think you're spot on with all this. Let's kind of go through it. We'll start with buying a home. You know, if you literally are thinking, I'm tired of renting and I want to own. Yeah. What's the very first thing you think somebody should do?
First thing you need to do is get with your lender, get with your bank, whoever you're working with, and get pre-approved. The process will be so much easier if you're already pre-approved, especially with this market. It's insane. Things are going so fast. Your leverage will be above the rest if you're already pre-approved. So get with a lender, get pre-approved. And if you can't get pre-approved now, then work on your credit and then you can get pre-approved later. But there's so many options for people right now to get pre-approved that I think a lot of people that are renting that don't think they can buy a house would be shocked that they can.
Yes.
So that's
I agree. And then you hit it when you said and if you can't get pre-approved now, work on your credit to get pre-approved. And that's a big point that we try to talk to people to.
Right.
You can do it. And if your credit's subprime right now, and that's why we get a lot of calls that are like, my credit's not been good for years. And it doesn't take that long.
It doesn't. It back around. You can probably speak more into that, but I do know that one way to raise your credit is by paying your bills on time or earlier on time, and then paying off debt so that your debt to income ratio looks better when you go to get a pre-approval.
Right.
It's won't be able to get one.
It's one of the first things we do, like when we talk to somebody, is we do a consultation with them. So part of that getting pre-approved process is having a conversation with us and finding out, you know, are there any problem areas they need to work on? And if so, we kind of help point them in the right direction because you don't know what you don't know. So
Right. Some
people, they don't have established credit or they've got lower credit scores because they don't know how to increase them. So we help them with that.
Right.
But if they're ready to buy, and a lot of people are, and like you said earlier, they're ready and they don't know it, then what we do for them is relate to them what their options are going to look like. So when they come to you, they kind of have an idea of what price range they should be in, what to expect as far as out-of-pocket expenses, payments.
Right.
It's a big, critical, important part. It kind of helps set the tone for the
It helps them not to get their hopes up on something they can't afford, or sometimes they realize they can afford more than they thought. It gives us kind of the criteria. So we know, okay, this is the amount we're working with. We set up our search on the MLS. They send to them. And so it doesn't send them anything that they can't afford. Which is nice. Mm-hmm. Kind of gives us our baseline to know where to go from there. So
right, you can sort of dial them in a little bit on what they're looking for, price range and stuff like that.
Right. Give them a realistic
Ryan and I don't have access to the MLS. So it's always been this mystery thing to us. You know, we know you guys use it all the time in the appraisers, but so for a buyer coming into the market, you guys dial it into like school districts, house sizes, bedrooms, price ranges,
everything. You can specify acreage. You can specify about anything in the searches. Now, the more specific the search, the lower your options will be. So I always try to keep searches to the most critical points that the buyer wants, and things that don't matter as much, I don't worry about it. So, and that, I guess that was a good change into our next point, was to find a realtor after you've gotten pre-approved.
Yes.
Of course, Cassidy and I are happy to help anyone who comes to us. And one thing I want to point out there too is we don't get paid until there's a closing.
Buyers, yeah.
So, you know, all these showings that we go to, we're happy to do, but we do hope that if you're happy with our service, you stick with us, you know, and until we get to a closing.
We want it to close just as badly as you want us to close.
And I want to, the same way we are. So Ryan and I are 100%, you know, in the company. So like, if we don't close loans, we, same thing. So we're vested, our employees are, you guys are. So yeah, for a buyer, everybody wants to work for them.
Yes.
Let's touch base on this though, because this comes up a lot. People, and I literally had a conversation last night, had a gentleman that found us online, wants to get pre-approved, he's moving here from out of state. He did not understand how realtors get paid. And his comment to me when I suggested that we get him pre-approved and getting connected with the real estate agent, his comment was, no, I want to save money and do it myself. And I said, you know, here's the thing. Realtors get paid to sell homes, and that commission that they earn comes from the seller.
Yes.
So as a buyer, what you need to understand is the best thing you can do after getting pre-qualified is get connected with the real estate agent that understands what you want, what you're looking for, that can help you with that. And they're going to get paid from the seller, not you.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
The alternative is you're calling random people on yard signs. And every time you see a home, you're calling that agent. Your experience is not going to be the same.
It's not. Once you have an agent, stick with them. If you're happy with them, stick with them. We can show any house. We're licensed for the state of Indiana.
Yep.
We can show anything here. And we're happy to help. And the other thing that I do, I know Cassidy does too, we don't try to force anybody into the wrong house. If you are not feeling it, we're not going to keep pushing for it if it's not the right house for you.
Right.
We've always liked you guys because you're like good buyer agents is what we call it, because you guys like to show houses. You still like to look at houses. There's some, you know, in the industry that they don't really want to go do that. So
yeah. That's right.
Yeah, sure. Likes to do it.
So the next step is looking at homes. So what's that mean to go look at homes?
We set up a showing. Either it's something that we've sent, you know, listings we've sent to the buyer, or they find and send to us that we want. Either way, we set up houses, times to see the houses. And then we just go look. If the house is occupied, obviously the seller needs to be notified so that they can vacate the house for that time. And we just spend 15 minutes to half an hour walking inside and out, taking note of
what they like,
what they don't like.
Sometimes we don't even go in. Sometimes they see the outside and they're like,
nope.
I'll do that. Don't waste anybody's time. So.
Or if there is a large dog loose, you don't go in. I had that yesterday. There was a large dog that was loose in the house, and the buyer and I just couldn't go in because he looked like he'd tear us to pieces.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe the neighborhood, maybe the immediate neighbor, right? Things you can't really see when looking online.
Yeah, and that's just something you don't know until you're actually in the environment of the house. Yeah. But we're happy to show anything you want to see.
So when you do find that charmer that you are in love with and you have that pre-approval, then we can write up an offer and go from there. So,
and we can write up an offer very soon.
Yes.
So as soon as you decide you want it, we've got that. We can write it up, send it to you. Either you can ink sign or you can e-sign. It's easy.
So that means you're in essence, you're going to write up whatever it is that buyer's willing to pay for the property, whatever terms they want to present. And you're submitting that to the real estate agent who's selling the home. Right.
That's
so you're in between. The buyer's not talking to the seller. Right. You don't have to do any of that. They're just saying to you, I'm willing to pay X amount of dollars, right?
Right. We're the go-betweens. So
yep. You don't have to talk to them at all. And that's us.
Yep. And then there's a process. The offer gets submitted and hopefully it just gets accepted the first shot. But sometimes that's not always the case. The seller has the option to accept the offer, to reject it, or to counter it on any point with price or any of the conditions of the offer. And so one of those three responses will come in and then we respond in kind. If it's not an acceptance right away, we counter back or we accept their counter. So the buyer has every option to, when it's his turn, to
negotiate,
accept, yep, reject, or to counter.
How often are you writing offers?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm sorry. Yeah. How often are you writing offers that don't get accepted?
Let's see. I have some buyers that put in three or four offers before we get one that's accepted.
So if you're a buyer, you've got to kind of understand the market, right? Like,
yeah, it's still pretty crazy right now.
Be patient. It'll happen for you.
Yeah.
You'll get your house.
And it's not always like that. That's certainly how it's been lately. That's probably a lot of the experience you've had, both of you, since getting in the business. It's super competitive for buyers. So
it is. And what we've seen, and this kind of moves us into the inspection aspect, is people have been waiving inspections. And we never will recommend that ever.
You need to know what you're buying.
Yeah. So that moves us into, once all of that negotiation is, you got an accepted offer, you sent it on to you guys for the loan process to start, loan approval and all that.
That's something we do. The buyer doesn't have to worry about that.
We all send that. And then the buyer will order an inspection with an inspector of their choice. We have tons of inspectors that we highly recommend, that we work with all the time, that we work with very closely, have their contacts. Order an inspection. They usually run $200 to $400, depending on the house size, depending on the job. And then once that's done, it's a whole another negotiation process, because if the buyer sees something in the inspection report that they want to ask for, such as GFCI, or
that's electrical that's not quite up to date, or some other
they can ask for that, and it's a whole nother negotiation.
Yep,
so the seller can accept it, reject it,
or counter it.
Yeah, and the inspection is almost more stressful than the actual offer part.
It is
in some aspects. But
scheduling it and then trying to figure out what really needs to be done, if anything.
Right. And we do try to help buyers narrow it down to what's most important, not a wish list of 21 things.
Yeah.
We try to keep it as simple as possible so the buyer or the seller isn't scared off, but it needs to be reasonable.
Right.
And then once that process is done, while that process is going on, the buyer needs to be finding homeowner's insurance. That's something that there are several things they can do right off the bat. And homeowner's insurance is something that they'll want to be getting some quotes on. One thing I tell buyers is that they aren't married to this insurance quote. All we need it is for closing. And if they find something, several months down the road that they like better, they can switch insurances or insurance companies. They just need to make sure that the mortgage company knows that too. But they just need something for the closing.
Right.
And then reiterate that as part of our process when we meet with them to sign the documents. We've actually got a form that we hand them that lists them, like you guys with home inspectors, some home insurance agents, that says, hey, you can use whoever you want. Here's a list of some that they're local if you need another quote.
Yeah,
we like to get the quote to get it started as soon as we can, and then we review it and make sure it looks good.
For sure.
And then hopefully everything's flown through to this point. There's an appraisal. And what that is for is so that the lender has assurance that the house that they're lending on can stand up to the value that, of the purchase price. And in governmental loans, there are a few stricter requirements. Mm-hmm. Not to scare anybody off, but they do require more, more from the seller.
Yeah.
Right.
As far as I know, peeling paint
railings.
Is an issue. Railings.
Window height sometimes.
Window height sometimes. Screens and windows. Mm-hmm. Any things that affect the house.
Not a lot of major typically, but it's
it is stuff we come across. Obviously, a conventional loan, there are a lot of house issues that can fly through mm-hmm. a conventional loan that would get caught up in a government loan.
Right.
So I always, if possible, I steer people toward a conventional loan if they can't pay cash for a house.
Which I'm sure is what you guys try to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that, you know, we tell people, look, I have a veteran, for example, that I just talked to last night. They're moving to Grissom from out of state, and VA is an amazing loan program. But they have options, and I explained that to them. Depending on the home and how many people are you're competing with to buy the home, it might be better for you to offer conventional. You know, put a little money down and go the conventional route, because the expectation is the VA mortgage is going to be a little harder on the property. But also, you got to remember too, what home are they trying to buy? You
know, right.
If it's a really nice $300,000, $400,000 house, it's probably going to pass anyways, compared to something maybe, you know, sub $100,000 where there's issues. And then one other thing I would say on the appraisal part is it's not necessarily, we don't always have to have an appraisal. In most cases we do. I closed a loan last week where we got an appraisal waiver, and that's something that's determined when we run the automated kind of behind the scenes approval. Sometimes it'll come back if you've got a good sized down payment, they'll just say, you know what, we don't even need it. And that's one less step in the process and one less thing that they have to pay for.
Yeah, that's nice to know. I didn't know that. And I do have a question for you guys while we're on this point. When you're writing up pre-approvals for people, do you sometimes write up their qualifications for a VA loan plus a conventional, just so we have different options when we're writing up offers?
Yeah, we can do multiple pre-approval letters. And then so it's like with the clients, when we sit down with them, if they've got options of FHA or conventional, we'll give them the worksheets, go over it with them, but we'll do the same thing on the letters.
Okay.
So at least that way you know which way you can go with it.
Right, and that is helpful. So hopefully everything's flown through to this point where we finally get what's called final loan approval.
Yep.
Everything's gone through underwriting.
Yep.
And we get what's called a clear to close from the lender.
Guys.
That would be you guys.
We love those. We love clear closes.
Right. I know. I love them too. The buyer will get a closing disclosure from the bank or the lender, whoever the lender is. And then we get the settlement statement from the title company. The numbers on those two documents should line up. And then we schedule closing as soon as we have that, which is within about 3 days of getting that document. And once you get closing, in most cases, you get the key to your house at that point. There are some instances we've had to write in possession to be
30
some
days
out, depending on what the situation is with the seller. But typically, you get your keys right then.
In closing, you know, that means to go sign all the final documents, right?
Right, right.
A lot of the lender docs, we have them sign up front, are kind of preliminary. They're not anything binding. That closing day, they typically in Indiana anyways, you're going to a title company.
Yes.
Yep.
It's kind of another behind the scenes part of the process, making sure that the home can be transferred and all that. But they'll facilitate the final signing of the documents. And like you said, in many cases, you're getting the keys to the home.
That's right.
Right, and there and then.
I want to say too that title company is very important because they're checking into the title on that property to make sure that when you sign the documents, you can have clear title to that property.
Yep.
And nobody's going to come back and have a claim to it.
Yep. No liens.
They're very important, even though you don't see much of them through the process. It's the clients don't see much of them. We deal with them a lot, but
yeah.
it's important to know that nobody can come and take your house from you.
Right.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And there's, you know, and Ryan and I, you know, with other lenders, you go through the fees. That's part of the closing cost or your title fees. And they can get expensive on it. But yeah. I always tell everybody that it's for, that's yours for the life, like your vehicle. Now you got clear title. So it's yours. Now you can transfer it at any time. So
that's right. Yeah, for sure. So, and I think that's about all we have. As soon as you have the keys, go get your flower pot to stick on your porch. So that's it for buying.
And in your experience, what would you say? I mean, we all know there's different paces to the loan approval process depending on the borrower. But I would say on average, someone writing an offer who's getting financing is likely getting keys in on an average of 3 to 5 weeks.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 3 to 5 weeks. Yeah, I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Unless you come up, unless, you know, you go back and forth inspection or something comes up in the appraisal, yeah. Weird, but that's rare. Yeah. I mean, it happens, but on average, I'd say that's about right.
And usually issues are resolved very quickly because mm-hmm. the seller wants to get rid of this house and the buyer wants to buy it. And so there's right. usually some cooperation there. Anyway, do you have any more to say on the buying process?
I think that's spot on.
Well, there you have it.
So that's good stuff. Yeah, you got like the selling aspect of it, which is a little bit different. I mean, you know, you're not driving around to house because it's only the one you're representing. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So prior to selling, let's say you finally made the decision, you know, I want to sell my house. I'm ready to make that change, mm-hmm. ready to make that move, whatever. Anything that you think little fixes that should be done, probably should be done. I mean, if you need to add paint somewhere, do it. If a doorknob needs to be fixed, yep. little things like that, just fix them. It's just, it makes it easier because buyers will notice that.
Fix your porch railing.
Yeah.
Just fix the loose things.
Little things.
Just maintenance in your house that needs to be done.
Yeah. Just make sure it's in like the best condition that it can possibly be in. Prior
that's that step that we just let go all the time, right? We're like, it doesn't bother us.
Yeah. So, prior to that, prior to hiring your realtor, make sure it's in tip-top shape as well as it can be.
And this would be the time, too, to, if you've got drippy faucets that need mm-hmm. to be replaced, fix those because someone's going to call it out. Just fix them. That's a pretty cheap and easy fix.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else.
I know.
You guys know your houses. You know what needs to be fixed because they're just things
that different for every house.
Ryan,
if I have a repeat client, right, a client of ours is thinking about selling and they're going back to their agent, because a lot of times they'll ask us these questions and I always tell them to lean on you guys. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, you're going to tell them the obvious things they should fix, right? Because part of the process is probably you going to their home and looking at it.
Yeah.
Part of assessing what they should be selling it for. Yes. You're going to give them an idea. And then also there's in today's market being such a seller's market. I mean, there's probably some things they could get away with not doing because somebody is going to just take it as it is.
Right. Probably. I don't want sellers to take that chance though. If they can just fix it up and it's not.
Yeah. If it's something cosmetic, like if they don't like the paint color, I'm like, well, I want to repaint it. Don't waste the money. Yeah. I mean, they might like the new buyer might love mm-hmm. that paint color and they might hate the new paint color. So just little things like that, I wouldn't, but if it's like a drippy faucet, like you said, just fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well. They're going to call it out in the inspection anyway. So yes.
Exactly.
But
One thing I would not spend money on is landscaping. We've had that recently, but that was something that the seller just wanted to mm-hmm. do. And it's fine, but it doesn't make the house more valuable. This is the time to decide what has the most bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. The landscaping that this house had was already fine. That's why in this instance, it didn't do anything to the curb appeal,
the value.
Right. It just was different, but it was a pile of money that the seller didn't need to spend unless some people just mm-hmm. want to, and that's fine. But
probably good sellers that love their house that just want to take care of it. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
but we try to focus on the things that yeah. most people will notice. I don't know about you, but I notice smells a lot. If your house doesn't smell nice to me, it's not going to smell nice to other people. Right. So make sure it's nice and clean. This is time to get rid of clutter.
Personal pictures, yeah. Make sure they're kind of tucked away. And that kind of goes into the showings, but people get distracted easily at showings. So that's a big thing.
They do.
But we'll get there.
So, yeah. So what's it mean to hire a realtor? How do I hire you? Like the A-team? Do I have to, is there like a secret?
There is a secret handshake.
You have to know it. No.
You start working with somebody. For instance, someone will call me and say they have a house to list. So I'll go over there and have some what are called comparables. And that means other houses that have sold recently that are similar in type to the house that they have. And we start looking at how their house compares, how much it could be sold for per square foot or as a whole. And once they decide, yes, we want to have you list our house, they sign a listing contract and we decide price. Now, Cassidy and I cannot tell a seller what to list their house for. That is a seller's decision. We can give guidelines and say, here's the data we found. This is what we think your house will sell for. And from that data, the seller can decide on the listing price. And then, so they sign the contract and it's a contract. So it's official.
Yeah.
We take pictures when they're ready and we put it on what's called the MLS system. And once it's on there, it runs through all the things that normal people see, like Zillow, Realtor.com, Trulia, and all these other homes places where people are searching. That's when
that's like that same point when you were talking earlier for the buyer, how acreage and location and all that stuff. So when you're listing the house, you guys are what? Keying in all that information. So
Pages and pages and pages of different info that we have to put in. A lot of it's nice though, because we can autofill like the tax information and stuff, but like bedrooms, acreage, there's a lot to input. So a
full half bath, probably like upstairs, different things like that.
Measurements, room measurements.
Room measurements. I've had to go back because I forgot room measurements before.
Yes. So if there's outbuildings, garage measurements, you have to have that. It's tedious, but in the end for the buyer, it helps them because it narrows down their search with what our sellers have in their house that they're selling.
So perfect. So that's why you can stick a sign in your front yard that says for sale by owner, but nobody's gonna get the detail that you guys are gonna give them with the listing with all that.
Right.
That online exposure, right? That's what they want.
This is when we need to know too what all you've done to the house. If you've had new wiring, a new roof, new anything, anything updated or redone, that's great information to put in the listing description, because then people can already start checking off. Well, you know, if it has a new roof, they aren't going to have to worry about that for a while. Updates. This is also when we have them fill out a seller's disclosure, which is the seller's best knowledge of the house. If there is something a seller doesn't know, there is a column to check that they don't know that.
It protects them.
It protects them. Yeah.
That if they don't know something and it comes back and this thing is broken, well, they check they don't know. So you can't come back and potentially sue the seller for not knowing.
Right.
You don't know what you don't know. So,
yeah. The best thing there is just be completely honest on that seller's disclosure.
Yeah.
And then what's next on our list?
Next thing, once it's listed, is we'll start getting showing requests from other agents in our MLS system in our area, and we'll relay once we get requests to our sellers, and the house will just get shown and hopefully shown a lot, and hopefully we'll get lots of offers in.
And then it goes through the seller side of the offers. What we do is when we get offers in, I know what I do is I kind of bullet point the main points of the offer as I send that to the seller, so that they can read everything, but I also like to highlight the main points of the offer to them. And then when we get lots of offers in, I just make up a spreadsheet so we can start comparing, comparing everything side by side instead of trying to lay out a whole table full of papers.
Yeah.
Number one's usually probably cash, isn't it, when you get that offer in there?
Yes.
Cash. Yeah, you guys love that, and we hate it.
Yeah, it's not fair.
The next, cash is king, but next up is a conventional loan. Those are just easier for everyone all around.
Yeah.
So we, and it's not to, you know, discourage anybody who can't get that. It's just, it just simply is easier.
It's just the market right now, right? I mean, if we had this conversation last year in 2021, it wasn't quite like that. So
no.
Isn't it really like cash and then a two mortgage guy's approval and then conventional? Right.
That's what it is.
That's what I meant to say. Obviously.
So, okay. And so you end up accepting one of the offers, or you counter back and forth until you find a middle ground. But at some point you get an accepted offer. And then you just, as a seller, kind of sit back
and wait. Yeah.
And wait. And that's the hard part. I've had so many sellers that are constantly worried because they aren't seeing the action. They don't know that anything's going on. So I always kind of have to check in with them and say, here's the next thing that's been completed. You don't have to do anything. It's just so you know where we are in the process.
And then once that's good, we order title work. So we'll send, like the buyer's agent sends to the lender, the seller, as a listing agent, we'll send all the same accepted offer to the title company. So they can start their work on the title search end and make sure there's no liens on property, make sure the whole title is clear. So then they do their work on that, get clear, to make sure title is clear, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Wowzers. And then same thing for inspections go on while this is all happening. As a seller, though, you want to make sure, like, they have access to the crawl space, the basement, attics, any special rooms that
the
might have.
The service panel.
Yeah.
You have to, they have to check the electrical. So make sure that doors and windows are clear. You want clear access to all the parts of the house.
So they can thoroughly check. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, also keep utilities on. If it's a vacant house, you still have to keep the utilities on because the inspector and the appraiser, does the appraiser have to do it? They have They have to check the utilities.
Yep.
So, and all the functions of the pipes and the.
Yep. Yeah, that's part of the safety and health of the appraisal is to make sure that that stuff.
Yeah.
So that stuff has to stay on. So, and then next after the inspection and appraisal, this sometimes gets kind of combined on the seller side where there might be some issues that come to a middle ground with the seller or the buyer on the inspection. If there are some fixes to be made, you do that. Sometimes the appraisal comes back with another fix or two.
Yeah.
Just do it, get the house.
Just do it.
You know, I have had some requests that are ridiculous. There's a point where you kind of just have to say this isn't going to work because one party or the other is demanding a brand new house for a used price.
Right, there you go.
And that's just not going to happen. So, and that's another thing. When you're a buyer, if you're buying a used house, it's used. So it's not, there are going to be scuff marks and things that just aren't brand new, and that's okay. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything's wrong with it. It's just used.
Right. Good point. Cause it's just like your vehicle, right? You can buy a used car, you buy it, you're taking a chance. But like a home, you know, we've seen it. You guys can also provide or have a company for like a home warranty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Correct. That you can have it added in and part of the negotiation to try to say like, hey, we might not know what it is, but here's a little safety net.
Yeah, right. for major like HVAC issues, something like that. It can cover up to however much you choose the warranty for, but you only have to pay for the service fee, which is so nice. And they do come in handy a lot of the time. I've used them a couple times for some buyers, but
especially if you're buying a house that hasn't had many upgrades recently, and so the water heater or something can just go at any time.
Protects you a little bit more.
It does. So, and then let's say everything's gone through appraisal. What the appraisal does is determine if the house can stand up to the purchase price that has been agreed upon. There are times that that's come back a little bit low. And in those cases, we either have to have what's called an appraisal gap that is covered in the offer. Sometimes the buyer wants the house so badly, they say if it doesn't appraise, we'll still put up the cash to cover that appraisal, whatever the difference is there. Other times, sometimes the purchase price is renegotiated, or there are some other there's some other middle ground the buyer and seller can come to. Just because it doesn't appraise quite to the purchase price doesn't automatically mean the deal is dead. There are things,
ways to amend it.
I would say more times than not, even when the appraisals come in short, we're still getting into the closing table. It's like everything you just said. It's
right.
Either they're paying the difference, or the price is getting lowered, or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, yes. Buyer still wants the house, seller still wants to sell it. So we usually
It's just tweaking paperwork, and then everybody like re-signing it, so everybody knows where they're at.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, and then after that, we get it clear to close, and we schedule closing just like the buyer side. And
the only difference is seller, the commission comes out of their side of the settlement statement. So,
and that goes.
Let's talk about that real quick, because you guys didn't really specify, and you don't have to get into the exact numbers or anything, but like in general, what should a seller expect to pay to sell a home? What's typical?
I see between 5% and 7% around here, depending on who the agent is, but that's typically what they can expect. And that's 5% to 7% just on the seller side. I've had some people think that it's both sides paying that much, and it's not. That portion, the 5 to 7 or whatever it ends up being, is split between the buying agents or the brokerage and the selling brokerage at whatever the split. Sometimes it's even, sometimes it's a little, you know, one gets a little more than the other, but generally it's a 50-50 split, and that goes to the brokerage that is the agency or the agent is part of. And then from there, you know, the agent gets their cut of that, because the brokerage, of course, has their
owns
own fees,
all the listings.
So,
right.
But that is a seller expense. Let's see. And the other thing I wanted to mention is the house has to remain at the same shape as it was when the offer was accepted. For instance, if a storm comes and damages the house, it needs to be fixed up before it can come to closing, because that closing or that settlement, sorry, I'm getting my words messed up. The seller's disclosure is signed again at closing by the seller saying we've maintained the property in the condition it was that when the offer was accepted. So
I can't pull all the copper plumbing out of the house after I get a contract.
Unfortunately not. I'm sorry.
Cash in.
So
That's spark notes of basically.
And that's it. Bring your keys to closing so that you can hand them off to the buyer.
Do you provide earlier on when you first meet with somebody and you're talking about what they want to sell it for, and you're talking about the commissions, do you provide anything in writing that kind of gives them an idea of what to expect? Like, so, for example, they have a mortgage they have to pay. They're going to pay fees. You got title.
Yeah.
You kind of break that down early on, right?
Yeah. We have a seller's net proceeds that we give and have them sign just so they know. And it breaks down. Okay. Let's say you sell the house at $100,000. This is how much you have for your mortgage payoff. So it's going to minus this much. We have our commission. We have taxes. We have anything else, maybe like a seller or a buyer credit that you have to provide. And it's an estimate, because we don't know all the lender's fees. We don't know all the title fees, but it's usually pretty,
we can get pretty close.
It's just an estimate that we have them sign. That way there's no surprises at closing. You're like, what the heck? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Very
similar to the mortgage side. We provide a loan estimate at the beginning of the application, and it's pretty accurate. It's just that, you know, like, there may be an extra search fee because it's something that might get added in. But
And when we represent the buyer, we give them an estimated closing cost sheet, which is the reverse side of what Cassidy was just explaining for the seller. And I want to explain something too. Taxes get paid. They get paid up at closing. So the day of closing, the seller pays up everything in taxes. That's part of the settlement. And then from that day on, the buyer is responsible for taxes. And in a mortgage situation, that's almost always escrowed in with your payment, which is nice. I know as a buyer, it's nice. I don't have to think about whether I paid taxes or not. It's just, it's gone in with the mortgage payment.
One payment. Yeah.
Yep.
So nice.
So, and do you have any more on the seller side?
I don't think so. I'm glad you added the taxes part, because that can be confusing to a lot of people.
I think you covering all that stuff with them at the time in which they're considering selling, I think that's something that people need to understand is going to happen, because there might be a lot of people out there right now that maybe would like to move for a variety of reasons, but they're not sure if they can, how much they're going to have when it's all said and done. So you've not charged them a dime at this point to meet with them, look at their home, give them ideas on what they need to fix, talk about what they could sell it for, how much they're going to net, right?
Right. We spend months with people before we see anything.
Yeah.
And we're happy to do it. That's part of our job. But it's a long term with us.
You're right.
So
you guys have lots of friends out there, don't you? When you stay in this for years, because like you said, with us, we become friends with them too, but it's different. We're not with them every single day. We're just getting a phone call once a week or once every 2 weeks to rerun numbers. So.
Right. Right.
And we never get the house smells. We don't get that part of it either.
Right, yeah.
Well, you can come with us sometime and you can get some smells.
I'm sure that's a fun part.
One more point I wanted to make on the buying side. And I've had people think that they have to buy their forever home, that whatever they're buying right now is their forever home, and it's not. You're buying a home for a season, and it could be 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's 2 years that you're buying a home, but you're buying the home that fits this time of life. I often see newly married couples that want to buy a home, and they're looking at what their parents have, and they want that, and they can't get that.
Right, exactly.
You buy the house that's right for this season of life, and in 10 years you can move, or 5 years you can move. You can sell that house and move to something you want that matches what you want better.
Yeah.
And you don't want to flippantly spend your money. That's why, you know, be careful in what you buy, but just realize that you're not spending the rest of your life there.
Exactly. Good points. That's been awesome. Like, that's really good information for buyers and sellers both. So before we say goodbye to Cassidy and Rebecca, if you like what you heard today, please be sure to like this video, share with your friends, be sure to subscribe so you can see more of our guests next Tuesday. Ladies, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you. And congrats for having officially the longest show we've ever done. We covered a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. We like to talk.
It's important stuff.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. So next week, we're going to be interviewing Nick Pate with State Farm Insurance. Nick's been busy helping his clients understand some pretty major changes in the insurance world. He'll be joining us to share these changes with you. Be sure to watch us next Tuesday at noon.